Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Haggai, the book of Haggai, the minor prophets, and I want us to look today at chapter 2. We know this very well, chapter 2, verses 1 through to 9, and in this, Haggai refers to God's glory that is coming to his body, and that's what we're calling this today. Mm-hmm. God's glory that's coming to his body. God's glory that's coming to his body. We need to understand the glory of God, because God's glory is most holy. And he doesn't share this glory, his glory, with any other. We can indeed experience his glory, and we will, but his glory belongs to him. Mm-hmm. It is him.
Amen.
He is glory. He's not made up of glory. He is glory. He is all glorious.
Praise the Lord.
And the heavens and the earth reveal it. Eternity reveals it. When we are in glory with him, it will always there be, always shining. It will always be the light of God, his glory, his presence. It can never be put out and never will be. Nothing can come against the glory of God. And therefore, for the glory of God to be seen and revealed in the body of Christ, we have to be delivered. We have to be set free from it, because God's glory is most holy. And I'm giving that brief introduction because that is going to help us to understand the ministry of Haggai as the children of Israel have come out of Babylon, being in exile there for some 70 years, and they are being called out and they're being exhorted to rebuild the temple. We all know the story of this, and Haggai is one of the prophets called of God to encourage them to rebuild the temple for the glory of God. So let's pick this up in chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the king to Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw the temple in the former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong. All you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. This is an ongoing work. It has not been finally accomplished. And sadly, much of Christendom is hid to this. They're all seeking a revival, or they're looking to past revivals. They're trying so much to do this in their own strength. But we find this is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and pressing on in the Spirit, in the deeper life, to fully understand and experience that you are going to be part of this. For God is raising, as He has shown us, the spiritual that holds up the roof,
the pillars,
that's it, the spiritual pillars of the last day that He's raising up, these pillars that are going down deep, their roots are deep, so that they're secure, resolute, they remain. One of the great emphases with the deeper life has been that those that endure, remain to the end, will be saved. In other words, will be counted worthy of this latter rain. Because unless you have a people, unless you have a firm foundation, how can God build upon it? Because sadly, so much in Christendom, many are coming and going. They are not reliable. And this is what Haggai was encouraging these people, these saints coming back. He was looking for reliability. And at the moment they were not reliable. And we know this because they were looking to their own houses, their own self. And they were more consumed and interested in their own houses than in the house of God. And that principle doesn't change. It is still the same today because human nature doesn't change, sadly. Now, it's interesting that little is known about Haggai, but the book bears record of him. Ezra mentions him in association with Zechariah and also the rebuilding of the temple. It's interesting that Haggai's name in Hebrew means festival. It means festival, which I think is quite appropriate in the rebuilding of the temple. Now, his ministry and his message was given in 4 months, round about 521 BC. So it was only given in a short time for the work that was to be accomplished. Now, the reason that God called him was that, as I've already been showing, that the Jews have returned from exile in Babylon, where they've been incarcerated there. His ministry was to expose where their heart and loyalty lied. That's what he was called to do. He was called to expose where their heart and affection lie. Does that not sound familiar?
Yeah.
You see, the Word of God doesn't change. This is whether you're being taught it from the Old Testament or the New. You see, nature doesn't change. God knows our hearts better than we know ourselves. And so he's called for this short ministry in which to expose a real problem. And the problem is, God cannot build through them. All the while their heart and affection is in another building. The building of self. And this was the problem. But it wasn't only that. They were looking back also. Because the older generation remembered the former glory in Solomon's temple. And believe me, indeed, it was something quite spectacular. And they are very aware that this isn't going to be the same. This isn't going to be the same work. They know by the preparation. They know by all that was coming in Solomon's time. He was hugely wealthy. He was able to use all the precious materials that were needed to build that temple. They have nothing like that coming out of exile. They've lost most of it. Most of it's all been pillaged, been taken by the enemy. So they have little in the way of resources in which to build this, other than just to revive with what was left, and under the direction of these minor prophets to encourage them. But you see, the divine mind of God is behind all of that. You see, God is knocking down this idea of him inhabiting in a building, and it's gradually preparing the people so that finally God is going to dwell and inhabit in the heart of man. This is why I have said the revelation under New Covenant is you are living, walking tabernacles for the glory of God. And so that's why he works with us whole in mind, body and spirit, that we are to glorify him also in our bodies. And so what we say, where we go, what we do, does matter. It matters that where God is, we are there also. It matters that we should be here today in this place glorifying God, because that is where he is. But we're still interested in building the kingdom of self. And God is still going to exhort and admonish us with regard to this. Because I'm going to say it again, brothers and sisters, there is nothing like being together under the anointing and the unction of the Spirit. That is where your true change and deliverance comes. But have some of us lost sight of this? Because it doesn't look the same. I remember years back how different it was. How much seemed to be going for us. How big we were as an assembly. And we had musicians and everything. The meetings just were great. They're on fire. It looks all so different. It seems so different. It's not like it was. Oh, I know that one, brothers and sisters. Don't you think there are times when I feel an absolute, utter failure as far as my ministry goes? But you know what? When I turn to stories like this, and when I start to read this, this causes me to rise up, that God doesn't make mistakes. There is a bigger picture involved. He just hasn't revealed it yet to us. And there's a reason why he doesn't reveal it yet, because he's looking for faithfulness. He's looking to see if we're going to remain and stay with it, or are we caught up with our own lives, our own building, our own affairs, and you know what they are, you know how they try to draw us in. Are we still going to find ourselves crying out to the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes, keep me faithful, keep me walking with you? You know, I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it. And I believe as I cry out to him, he will do this in my life. And do you know what? He does.
Yeah.
He does. And here you find yourself still meeting, still praising the Lord, still hearing it, because one day his glory is going to be manifested and seen. We don't yet fully believe that. It's still not quite yet in our hearts. But stay with it, because he will. Because God's more jealous over his glory than you are or I am. Believe me, he is. So here Haggai is encouraging them and saying, don't look back. And you'll always start looking back when you are not productive for the Lord. I'm talking about spiritually productive. And that can mean many, many things. It's not just going out always doing, but it's just obeying God. It's keeping with him in prayer. It's keeping with him in the word. It's keeping with him listening to this message. All of that is being productive as well, spiritually speaking. And you see, some of them weren't. And so what do? They start to become depressed, oppressed. Oh, this isn't the same. I remember what it was like, you know, at the time of Solomon's temple. And of course, the elder people were obviously affecting the younger people by what they were saying. So it was causing this negative. Sounds familiar? Goes on in the house of God, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And how the devil uses it. And God, in his mercy, sends a prophet and encourages them. Don't look back.
Amen.
It's going to be a new work. You can't see it yet. But I'll tell you what, this new work is for the latter rain, for the glory of God, which is coming. Now, of course, a lot of them will think, well, surely a place like Solomon's temple should be for the latter rain. No, it isn't. It's not what God wants. And we know that what God wants is not what we like or we think. It always goes against our thinking, our logic. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And so it goes on, Isaiah says. And that is what we struggle with. We fight with. So, the ministry was to expose their hearts, was to expose their loyalty, their commitment, their consecration. But also, the exposure and the admonition was to strengthen and to help them to finish the job. And brothers and sisters, you and I have to finish this job. I don't know how it's going to be done, but all I know is it will be.
Yeah.
And here am I, Lord, use me.
Amen.
In my weakness, in the state that I'm in,
yeah.
I'm here, use me.
Yes.
That is what God wants.
Yeah.
That is what he's looking for.
Amen.
That is what the deeper life is all about. And we look a ridiculous bunch in the natural. No more ridiculous than FGA. And many of them laugh at us and mock us and jeer us. What a pathetic bunch number. Well, all I know is it's for the glory of God. God be God and all men liars.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anything else. You see, Haggai was used to get the Jews from looking to themselves, their homes, as I've been saying, and focusing on their spiritual condition.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to expose something. he was working to get repentance from them. And true repentance never comes in the house of God till you see your spiritual condition. And that is what the enemy tries to fight. That is what he tries to blind our eyes to, is our spiritual condition. But we have to see it.
Mm.
We have to see that we haven't arrived yet. There's still a work in progress, which we know. So we need to be awfully sensitive to this. And this is why it is so important that we pray for this body, that we pray for one another. Since, you know, we've come into 2019, I can only say this is how the Holy Spirit leads. I've not had this before, but for this year, over the last week, since we have moved into this, I have had just a burden, a consecration in prayer and intercession for this body that I've not had before as pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has been given to me. So I don't push that on anyone else. I just do what God tells me.
Amen.
And I know this is very instrumental, being pastor of FGA. So it's a deep thing. And you pray this through. But one of the things that God has really emphasized to me, and he has challenged me with this, and he has said this, you love me, you love my body.
Amen.
You cannot separate the love of God with him and his body.
Yes.
It is one. It is one.
Mm.
And yes, you're challenged by that. Yes, you go and you search, and you allow the Holy Spirit to highlight these things.
Yeah.
Because when you love God, you love his body, you love the brethren. And you love them even in their weaknesses.
Yes.
And so on, because you intercede, you pray. See, this is what it's all about. The enemy is out to try to divide.
Yes.
He fears what God is doing. Do you know why? Because he fears the glory of God coming back to the latter body in the last day that will be standing. The latter rain. That is what he fears.
Yes.
And that is what he's trying to stop. We know this from our own experiences, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So, that is what Haggai was called to do. He was called to expose their spiritual condition. And their spiritual condition was they were actually ignoring building the house of God.
Mm.
They were, in many ways, when you read this, they were almost, in a sense, deliberately turning their back on what they knew God required of them and getting themselves involved in their own things, their own affairs, and so on. And of course, you know, God will only let that one go so far. You see, Christians today really have such little insight about spiritual building, about the fact that God is building the church through you, through me. And one of the main problems, and it still goes on in FGA, we are still looking to someone else who's going to build this body. And it ain't going to work.
No.
It's going to, this is going to be built. Here am I, use me, Lord.
Okay.
I'm not going to look to anyone else. I'm available. Use me in the capacity that you see right for your glory.
Yes.
That is ultimately what God is looking for. I can only speak this, of course, for FGA. And all the while, we are still looking to somebody else and trying to blame somebody else. God cannot build through you. You, in effect, have spiritually turned your back on God building his body. You're making this same mistake that the children of Israel were making when they came out of exile, out of Babylon. You see? This was a great deliverance. And of course, as we read this here, he reminds them of the deliverance that they had out of Egypt under Moses' ministry. So this is the huge deliverance. He goes right back to the basis. And this is why we make much of the cross, of the death of Jesus Christ, because it tells us from whence we've been hewn. From where we have come from. And we need to be reminded of that, because that is our deliverance. And that's what causes us to look away from these things that hinder the Holy Spirit building through you, I.
Mm.
That is why God is restoring the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4. What is that for? It's primarily to get the saints to be consecrated so that the Spirit of God can build this last day church Amen. For his glory. Of course it looks a mess. It's easy to look back to what it used to be. It's easy to look at church history where there were the great revivals over the centuries. And many, many Christians we know are locked in, longing for that. And cannot see the way today now that God is raising up, rebuilding. That is why he's restoring the gifts to the church. That's why he's restoring, bringing us back under his headship, his banner. Bringing us out of that bondage. Bringing us out of harlotry, because that is what it is. We know that all these denominational roads, bondage, religion, leads back to Rome. The harlot. That's what we're being delivered from. And how the enemy tries to draw us back into all of that bondage. You know why? Because it's comfortable. You can be a spectator. You can be entertained. You can be made to toll. You're doing well. You're going to make it into glory. You don't have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Oh, I wish it was. It would make my job a lot easier. But the fact is, it isn't. Wherefore, come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing. And boy, do you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to survive in the wilderness? You couldn't survive otherwise. No way. No way. So here he is, Haggai, looking to get them to face a spiritual condition, to show them that they are to be used, they are to be spiritually productive. There's a building, there's a house to be built. You see, God's body is permanent. It is needed. It's paramount for man's soul. The body of Christ is essential for our deliverance, our maturing into sonship. The body of Christ is where we meet with God. You don't meet with him the same on your own. And, oh, that's important, don't get me wrong. But you meet with God in a way that is different to when you are back home and walking and overcoming each day. It's paramount to man's soul. You see, without the body, you don't have God's presence. What did God say to the children of Israel through Moses? Exodus 3, verses 8 to 10. Exodus 3 and verses 8 to 10. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Hang on a minute. What do you mean he's taking us to a land of milk and honey? All those ites are enemies. They're giants. Oh, you see, God wants to teach you something. He wants to show how great he is, how great his glory is.
Amen.
Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so, of course, Moses was called. He was the right man for the hour. He, in many ways, was a spiritual type of Messiah, God to Israel, under that old covenant. to deliver them.
Yeah.
But look where he's bringing them through. He's already saying what he's going to bring them through.
Mm.
The land of the giants. The enemy.
Mm. Yes.
They're going to be taught how to war.
Mm.
How to overcome.
Amen.
He's going to make soldiers, spiritually speaking, out of them. You see, it doesn't change. The message doesn't change. The work of God, what he's doing, doesn't change. We see a familiar extract from this in the book of Hebrews. Tell me if you will. Hebrews 12. We get some insight here. The saints who walk by faith. And verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 12, where it speaks about we walk by faith, we're in a race. He says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, which he does now, because he sent the Holy Spirit. That is where he's seated now. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And boy, is he shaking. He's shaking your life, my life. He's not going to leave any stone unturned. Whatever areas of darkness still in our lives, he's going to continue to shake and shake and shake.
Yes, Lord.
And why is he doing this? For the latter rain, for his glory.
Amen.
And so he says, know this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That's how he's coming in the last days. He's coming. And that shaking is taking place in the house of God. That shaking is taking place in FGA. And for a reason. And let's praise and thank the Lord, because this is our deliverance. This is where he's changing us. This is where he's working in the heart, circumcising us. Rooting out that unbelief, that sin that is still a hindrance. So God's body is absolutely important. It's paramount for our soul, for man's soul. Because without this, we do not have God's presence. We do not really have a deeper life teaching if it were not for the body of Christ. If it were not for FGA and others also who are holding on in this around the world, pressing in into the deeper life. If we do not have a body, we do not have his presence, and we do not have a message, and therefore we are not going to get that deliverance, that change that our souls and hearts desperately cry out for. And so it's the same cry. The same cries, the children of Israel who were in bondage, God heard their cries. He set them free, so it's the same cries with us. And those cries come before the throne of God. That's why we cry, Abba, Father. Remember in a teaching I gave a few months back that I described what that cry is? It's like a crow. The crows. That's not a particularly attractive sound that comes from a bird when we think of what some birds, the fantastic sounds that they can make. I wouldn't put a crow at the top of the list by any means. At all. But that gives us an idea. You know, a crow sounds as though it could do with a good drink. It's very croaky. Yeah. You know, when you just wake up in the morning, yeah, sometimes you start talking and, you know, you're croaking away and so on. That's what it is. That's the idea of it. We're crying out in our weakness, our desperation for that change. And God has got his remnants. He's been singling us out. He's been working with us. I can only speak for FGA for all these years. Yeah. My ministry extends Moses' ministry. Yes. In that sense. Although God, of course, was working with him. But, you know, I've been with this for many, many years, as some of you have. And we've seen a lot of water go under the bridge. A lot of it, you know, you could weep, you could cry, you could howl. Yeah. What's happened to these souls? Yeah. And yet here we are, by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. And God knows what he's doing. But on the other side of it, it shouldn't take any of us by surprise. No. Has not God warned and forewarned? Has he not spoken over and over and over again all these years? Where there are times when we think, well, is God really repeating himself? But it's for a reason. Because he loves us. He warns us. He continues to show us that ourselves are our own worst enemy. And yet on the other side of it, look how gentle, loving, and merciful he is. There are things in my life that we have done, I have done, that I shouldn't be here as a result. Mm-hmm. And yet look at his mercy, his grace. Because he is revealing the Father's heart to us in these last days. Why, as I close with this, because glory is coming to his body. And he is making sure that we have been purged and purified, that he has done such a work in our lives that whatever, when his glory comes, we won't run away. Which sadly, a lot will do. Because they'll be afraid, they'll be burnt up by the glory of God. And so we have to go through the fires of purification. We have to be purged and purified because it's for the glory of God. The reason that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego didn't burn in the fiery furnace is because the glory of God was there. And they saw the pre-incarnate Christ. That is a spiritual type. That is what is coming back to the body of Christ, yeah, as he's building this. Yeah. But how is he building this? He's building it through you and I. Mm-hmm. Those living stones which he's working upon. He's smoothing out those rough edges so that we are fit neatly together, so that we don't have to work at fellowship. We don't have to work at loving one another. We don't have to see it as a chore, praying for my brother, for my sister. I don't see it, you know, coming against my plans because there's a meeting for Sunday or God calls us for a prayer meeting or whatever it would be. We don't see it as a chore. We see it as an opportunity. We see it as the extension of building the body in and through me. If you find FGA as becoming a chore, a burden, you need to seek the Lord. What is going wrong? because God is moving with this body, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And he's going to build through this. For what he has started, he will fulfill and accomplish. God never stops halfway through. He will always finish the work that he has started. Whether you approve of that, whether you want to be part of that or not, it makes no difference to the glory of God. What he has decreed will be accomplished and finished for his glory. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, how we have need of hearing your word. Father, thank you for encouraging, preparing us for what we're meeting this year. Lord, we have heard similar teachings like this in the past. But Lord, we've heard today with ears and eyes that we've not really had before. And what has come out of this today is that it is no good any of us looking to anyone else. Here am I. Use me. You are going to build this through me, as well as my brothers and my sisters, which also includes the gifts that you place in the body. Father, make this a reality. We are learning that none of this is about me, what I can get out of this, what this will do for my ministry. All of this is about your glory.
Amen.
That is coming to your body in the latter rain. And this is why you shake. And in that shaking, you expose. And in the exposures, it means that we can bring this before you, that it is dealt and covered by the blood of Jesus. For you have shown that as overcomers, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives even unto death. In other words, it's not what I can get out of it. This is why we are spiritually daily like lambs going to the slaughter. Because it's all about the glory of God. Thank you today for our fellowship.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father, for bringing us together in unity, oneness. I pray you'll ever be with us, leading, guiding us, preserving, keeping us. Lord, help us to be faithful to this. We are so aware of our weaknesses. We're so aware, Lord, of the things around us that just try to distract us and draw us away, Father. And we find that we just eventually just want to get away because we lose our peace. We lose our guidance, our direction. We don't hear you as sensitively as we should. Oh, Father, we are aware that we can be our own worst enemy.
Yes.
The Lord, continue by your precious Holy Spirit dealing with that self-life. Keep the cross of Christ focused in our mind and heart and spirit and attention. Because that is the way we walk. And Lord, we thank you. You have enriched us today. You have given us food that no one could prepare what you have given today. Lord, we've just seen over the last 2-3 weeks what an indulgence there's been with man as he celebrated Christmas. It's just indulgence to the self-life. And yet, Lord, what we have participated with today and what we've received, oh, it just is infinitely greater. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love us. You first loved us. You've never stopped loving us. We're always in your sight. We're never out of it for a second, for a moment. You're there providing for us, giving your angels charge over us. You're working wholeness in us, in mind, body and spirit. And some of us, Lord, you know what we're going through, whether it's a physical or emotional or mental or whatever it would be, the trials. You know in the body what we're going through. But you will leave none of us out. None of us will be denied.
Thank you.
Lord, it is in your time when we touch the hem of your garment and you will make us whole. You're delivering us from trusting in the arm of the flesh. Lord, you're showing us what man is doing, how he's trying to revive and restore the first Adam. But Lord, we are not in the first Adam, we're in the second Adam.
Yes.
And Lord, by your stripes we were healed at Calvary.
Yes.
You renew our youth as the eagles. We don't have to walk the way of the world and what they put all their energies and time into. We're delivered, Father, from that. We've received the good news of the gospel. And indeed it is a good news. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, to look away from these things that we still rely upon. That we rely solely, utterly, completely on you and you alone.
Jesus.
And Lord, we can do this as you revealed through prophecy, because it's about you, Jesus, who's alive and living, who's come back to us in his fullness through the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, as we face this new year, if you tarry, help us to walk in faith
Amen.
And obedience.
Amen.
For this
Jesus.
We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.